Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. Pastor Rich asked me to talk about the addictions ministry briefly, so we are starting tomorrow, so be in prayer for that. It starts at 7 p.m. Every Monday, 7 p.m., we're going to be having stronghold, spiritual strongholds and addictions ministry for those that are struggling, and I want to encourage you to be in prayer. And if you want to still be a part of that and help us out, we could still use helpers. So I'll be in the back after service. And also, if you know someone that's struggling with addictions or spiritual strongholds, we do have invitations to our ministry out in the welcome desk. So I want to encourage you to pick one or two up if you know somebody and that could benefit and could help with this ministry. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm still waiting on my slides to pop up, but I will go ahead and pop it up on my phone. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. I want to bring your attention again to verse number 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for the power, Lord, that your word has. And Lord, we thank you for the comfort and the edification and even the conviction that it has to break spiritual strongholds in our lives and bring us to the right place where we're close to you, where we're following you, when we're serving you. Lord, when you are just as real as the air we breathe, and Lord, we're helping others as well and building up the kingdom of God as best we can with the spiritual gifts that you've given us. So I pray for each and every individual here that knows you as their Lord and personal Savior. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that if there be one in our midst that does not know for sure if they were to die today, they would go to heaven. And they're unsure of their salvation. I pray they would get that settled today. And we'll be careful to be careful to praise you and thank you. For we ask of it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in this passage, we have the synopsis of Moses, who was mentioned as a man of faith. You know, I think besides the story of Joseph, the story of Moses and the children of Israel being delivered out of the land of Egypt is probably my favorite story in the Old Testament. I mean, here you have a people that were originally chosen by God, destined by God to go to the promised land, and here they are slaves in Egypt. Now, God did prophesy that. It was all a part of God's plan. If you read the book of Genesis, you understand that. And so the book of Exodus has the story of the children of Israel who were crying unto God for a deliverer. And guess what happened? An edict went out from Pharaoh saying, kill every man-child that's born. You know what? Sometimes when you pray and you see God's face, things don't get better. They get worse initially. Amen? And so they were praying, and God says, no, I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to send Moses. And the Bible says that by faith Moses, and that first by faith there in verse 23 is not talking about Moses' faith. It's talking about his mommy and daddy's faith. They hid him because they saw that he was a proper child. They knew that God had a special plan for his life, and they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. Now, you know the story. He was and taken down the river, and Pharaoh's daughter saw him cry and had compassion upon him and took her as his own son, and his older sister Miriam was watching and says, hey, I know a Hebrew woman that's just ready to nurse him right now. And it happened to be his mother, of course. So he was basically raised, in a sense, for who knows, 3-4 years of his life at least. And I'm sure periodically he was able to go back and see his family. He was raised by a mom and daddy who loved the Lord, who knew that God had a special purpose for his life. And let me encourage you, let me tell you something, parents. Don't let the devil distract you in your life, in your work life. Hey, make your home life your most important life when you have children in the home. Amen. Get the Bible out every day. Get the Bible out every night. Pray with your children every night. The family that prays together, what? Stays together. Yes. Right? I believe that. And reading the Word of God and teaching them and telling them that God has a special plan for their life if they just follow Him and know Him as their Savior. So Moses was chosen by God, and the Bible says that probably about 2 million people, if you count the women and children, he was called to go and lead them out of the land of Egypt. How did he do that? How did God deliver him? And how did Moses respond and deliver the children of Israel into freedom? And I think spiritually we can ask ourselves the same question. How do we get free from the spiritual bondage that keeps popping up in our lives? It may be anger, it may be pride, it may be lust, it may be greed and covetousness, it may be some things that we can't even talk about. We're so hurt by and crushed by and wounded by. Maybe it's anxiety and depression, things that the devil just brings us down with. How do we get free from that? And how did Moses do that? Remember, Moses didn't want to go. He didn't say, "Oh yeah, Lord, that's great. I'm ready to go. I'm the leader." No, at first he was that way, and we'll look at that. But he said, "Lord, I can't. They're not going to believe me. I can't. I'm a man of I stutter too much. I identify with that. Sometimes I get too excited and I stutter too much. And Lord, I can't do that." But God says, "I've called you. You're going to go." There was an experience that Moses had, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But God was very real and very near to him. And he was able to do it. First of all, I want you to see, how did he do that? Moses knew who he was. Moses knew who he was. Well, we got the slides back there, so you can look at that. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Moses did not have an identity crisis in his life. He knew who he was. He knew he was an Israelite. He knew he was a child of God. He knew he was special. He knew he was chosen by God. And friends, if we're going to have the kind of life that God wants us to have, spiritually speaking, we need to know who we are. We need to have assurance that we're saved, that we're born again, that we know the Lord. Stephen, before he was martyred, preached probably the most convicting sermon, and for his reward, he wasn't thrown tomatoes, he was thrown stones, and he died. He became one of the first martyrs. And the Bible says, in talking about Moses, Stephen says this, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." He didn't just smack him on the face, folks. He killed him and hid his body in the sand. "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day, as he showed himself unto one of them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, 'Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?' But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didest the Egyptian yesterday?' Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. Moses realized who he was. He says, "I'm a child of God." And there must come a point in time in your life where you have made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. I was talking to a man a few weeks ago, and he said, "You know, I was born a Christian. I was a Christian all my life." And I got talking about that. I said, "Well, you know, there has to be a time where you made a decision that you were a sinner and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior." And, you know, he had some questions about that. But, you know, I told my children growing up, and they were in a pastor's home, and I was a pastor for almost 10 years. And I said, it doesn't matter what kind of home you grew up in. It doesn't matter that your mommy and daddy read the Bible to you. You have to make that personal decision yourself. I cannot make that for you. You must repent of your own sins personally and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved from death and hell. The Bible is very clear on that. And the Bible says once you do that, you are born again. You know, many in our world today are going through identity crisis, aren't they? Especially in our country. We have fur babies and people identifying as whatever they want to identify with. You know, praise God, as Christians, we don't have to struggle with all that mess, do we? We know who we are in Jesus, don't we? We know who's created us. We know that we are Imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. God has created us, and we know who we are. And we really know who we are when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a danger of growing up in church and knowing the Bible, knowing about salvation, and not knowing the Lord. My wife, we met when I was just getting into college in the Bible Institute, and we met serving the Lord together in the bus ministry, and she grew up in church since she was like 5 years old or something. She got saved when she was 6. She made a profession of faith anyway when she was 6 years old. And by the time she was late in her teenage years, she realized that she just wasn't saved. I mean, she knew that she did not know the Lord. It was clear to her. And you know what? She could have felt a little maybe embarrassed or felt like she might have gotten ridicule from some friends in her peer group, but she didn't care. She went forward and says, I'm getting this thing sure. I want to make sure that I'm saved. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're not saved and you know you're not saved, you need to get that right with the Lord today. You need to make sure that you know that you're saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. And you know what? We need to be daily grateful for our salvation, and we need to know that we're saved. So in our ministry in Deliverance into Destiny, we kind of have a 6-step program. The first step is that we must have a right relationship with the God of the Bible through Jesus Christ, his son. You know, John 17:3, Jesus talks about knowing God and knowing God through his son, Jesus Christ, because that is eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you if you don't have Jesus Christ. Because we are sinners and we are in desperate need for a Savior. We've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all broken God's commandments. In and of ourselves, we deserve death and hell. But praise God, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can be free and forgiven immediately if we repent and put our faith and trust in him. So we talk about that fact. We talk about the assurance of salvation. We talk about that once we're in God's hands, we're continually following him and trusting him, that nothing can separate us. We talk about the past tense of salvation, how we're delivered from our sins, and how we're being delivered presently from our sins, and how in the future we'll be delivered fully from the presence of sin. And so we talk about that fact in our program. There's 5 lessons in each step. The second step says we must have a deep understanding of Satan and the demonic forces behind strongholds. Listen, we must know who our enemy is. Once we've declared that we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we are public enemy number one for Satan and the devil and his minions. Amen. And he's after us. He wants to distract us. He wants to defeat us and cause us to not have victory in our lives as Christians in a spiritual way. And so we talk about that. We talk about how to resist temptation. We talk about the spiritual armor of God in Ephesians 6. We go in over in detail about that. We talk about Satan's deceptions and those things like that. So we really want to focus on the fact that, hey, this is a spiritual warfare. You're not just battling a drug addiction. You're not just battling alcohol and a little liquor. You're battling the devil. And you know what? No matter what spiritual stronghold we have an enemy. So first of all, you must know who you are. Are you a Christian today? Are you saved? You know that for sure. Secondly, I want you to see Moses also knew who he belonged to. He didn't just know who he was. He knew whose he was. He knew who he belonged to. Our text is, by faith he forsook Egypt, and he did not fear the wrath of the king. Now, that's a pretty amazing statement. If you recall, if you know your Bible and you know history, Pharaoh was the most powerful potentate at that time. And you didn't dare raise your voice to him. You didn't dare speak up to him because that meant a sure and instant death. And when he said, kill every one of those Hebrew boys, genocide took place that quick. But see, something happened in Moses' life. The Bible says that Moses went to a bush that was burning and not consumed. And the very God of heaven spoke to him and was near to him and caused him to have a deep, intimate relationship and fellowship. And the Bible says Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to a man. And when Moses got a glimpse of God, he was able with his holy boldness to walk into Pharaoh's court and say, let my people go. Took 10 plagues, but he did. Eventually he did. You know, you and I not just need to know who we are, we need to know who we belong to. We need to have that intimate daily fellowship with the Lord. And I want to challenge you today, if you're not in your prayer closet every day, that means going to a place quietly where you can be alone with the Lord and talk to him. You need to do that. You need to seek his face. If you're not in God's word every day, it's God's love letter to you. You know, we have a special day coming up in a couple weeks. My wife is going to be celebrating her birthday. And so we're always excited about my wife's birthday because she's special. And we get to go out to eat when it's her birthday. And we get to go wherever she wants. And she always picks great restaurants. And it's just a fun time. You know, let's suppose that, I'm my wife's birthday. I give her this really nice birthday card. And it has some nice things written in it. But I also write from my heart, a deep, deep love letter to my wife. And let's suppose she gets that letter. She opens it up, kind of shakes it out, and says, where's the gift card? I don't see no gift card. And throws it away. How would you think that would make me feel as her husband? But you know what, folks? Every single day, God has a personal love letter for us in his word. And we don't read it. It's God's love letter. God wants to develop that deep, intimate, personal relationship with us. But that does not happen without his book. You know, when I was a new Christian, when I was a senior in high school, a leader came up to me, somebody that was mature in the faith, and he said, Matt, sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I never forgot that. He encouraged me every day, read your Bible, read Proverbs. As a young man, I read Proverbs every day for several years. And we have to come to the point where our faith is intimate to us. And you know what? We need to have the boldness of God to share our faith, don't we? The early apostles had it. Peter and John. The Bible says that the rulers of Israel took notice that they had been with Jesus. These unlearned and ignorant men spake with power as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to bring salvation to others. And you know what? We are far, far too passive in our faith as Christians, especially in our country here in America, aren't we? You know, I have had a lot of things said to me that I can repeat, and a lot of things said to me that I can't repeat. I still love the story of Dr. John R. Rice. He was a preacher of old and a fundamentalist, and he was preaching in a town one day and at a certain time, and the bartender and the owner of the bar was very, very upset. People that were drunkards were getting saved, and he was going to do something about it. So he sat, Dr. Rice started preaching. He sat right about where you're sitting. Brother, you don't have a gun, do you?
No. I mean,
so he had a gun. Praise the Lord. He had a gun. And Dr. Rice started preaching. He points a gun at Dr. Rice and says, I'm going to kill you. Dr. Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. Guy says, what? He says, you can't scare me with heaven. Guy didn't know what to do. He put his gun down. Dr. Rice kept preaching. At the end of the service, he put his gun down, went down to the altar, and got saved and gave his heart to the Lord. Amen? That's what happens. It's time for us as believers to stop mamby-pamby our Christianity and say, thus saith the Lord, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ that has been imparted to us as Christians. Share your faith. Be bold with your faith. Speak out for your faith. Lead others to the knowledge of Jesus. That's what God has called us to do as Christians. Now, some people may have a special gift for evangelism. And you know what? That's all they do all day, every day. And they can't shut up. That's me, by the way. My 15-year-old daughter tells me all the time, Dad, would you please just shut up? I mean, Dad, be quiet. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that, Dad. I'm sorry. And, you know, I feel for her. She has to listen to me talk. I take her to school every day. She's got to listen to me talk. And, but you know what? Some of us have the gift of evangelism, but you know what? All of us have the command to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not a spiritual gift. That's a command that our Lord has given us. And we need to proclaim our faith and be bold in our faith. Paul said this in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul's saying, I've not arrived. And by the way, if somebody could say that about his spiritual condition, it was Paul. Paul started several churches. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. He walked close to the Lord. But he says this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a verse. Another passage says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was not in vain. But he said, I labored more than all the rest of the apostles, but the grace of God in me. He says, you know what? There should be a change of mind when it comes to addictions and spiritual strongholds that look, we just want to be fulfilled, don't we? We just want something. Even though God says it's wrong, even though God says it's sinful, even though God says you can't have it, I don't want that for you, it's not good for you, we still want it. And what we need to do is change our thinking, that's repentance, and realize that God has something better for us. And that's what we talk about in our ministry. Our third step into deliverance, it says this, to engage in spiritual warfare from a place of victory, not for victory from strongholds. We need to come to a place in our life that, look, God's already given us the victory in Christ Jesus. All right? It's not something we have to try to earn. We think salvation is a free gift, but we have to earn everything else. No, we're saved by faith, amen. We're kept by faith through the power of God. And God says, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to believe me and realize that I have the power to break those strongholds in your life. God says he's got the power. We just have to follow it. We just have to follow his word, change our mind. Go from a position of weakness to a position of strength. You know, one of the things that I did not enjoy, I think I mentioned this last time, talking about being in boot camp. You know, they really broke you down and they built you back up. And they had a little saying that they made us do before we went to sleep at night. And they made us snap our fingers three times and say, strong minds build strong bodies, you know. Strong minds build strong bodies. And we have to say that. It's stupid, but it's very true. It's very true. You know, if you're going to be a strong-minded Marine and be able to withstand combat, you have to have a strong mind. And, you know, Paul told Timothy, be strong that is in the grace in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. No man that wars, has a war, thinks about what's going on back at home and you know, how things are going back there. He's focused on the battle. You know, sometimes we get so focused on other things and the devil distracts us. We need to be focused on our spiritual lives and realize that we have victory in our lives. Not only that, but number four, it says to realize our purpose or destiny after we are delivered is to serve the Lord. is to serve the Lord. Luke 9:23, Jesus talks about, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. You know what God was telling Moses? Victory is yours. You just got to follow me. You just have to obey me. You know what? The Christian life is not supposed to be some convoluted, complicated thing. We just need to trust the Lord and obey his word and do what he says. And as our mind changes, as our thoughts change, our actions will change too. And the struggles that we have, we can turn into victory. And we can use that as fuel for serving the Lord. God says, Moses, there's a promised land here. I've called you to it. I'm going to bring you to it. You just got to trust me. You just got to follow me. Just do what I say. And that's what Moses did. So number one, we realize Moses realized who he was. He was an Israelite. He was a child of God. And that's what we have to realize too. Number two, we have to realize who we belong to. We are intimate. The Bible, you know, the Bible says about us, we're chosen, we're sanctified, we're heirs of grace. We are going to be kings and priests with Christ. We will reign on the earth. That's amazing. So whenever you're tempted to get discouraged about who you are in this life, realize there's a better life to come, amen? And God's got a great eternity plan for us. But number three, Moses also knew where he was going. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was, and he knew where he was going. The Bible says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn touch them. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the Passover. And the Passover signified deliverance and redemption for the nation of Israel. That was right before the last plague of the firstborn being destroyed. The Bible says they had to take an innocent lamb and sprinkle the blood on either side of the doorpost and on top. And God says, this night I will pass over you, and I will not destroy your firstborn. There was a difference. There was a significant difference. The Egyptians didn't do that. The nation of Israel had the blood. I want to submit to you today, it is impossible for you and I to be free from spiritual bondage and addictions in and of ourselves. Spiritually. Yeah, we can quit drinking. Yeah, we can quit smoking. But I'm talking about spiritual bondage, spiritual oppression. Without the blood, it's not possible. Without the spiritual growth in our lives that we need, it's impossible. But the children of Israel, because they were God's chosen, they were bound for that promised land. And God says, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna have the cloud by day. I'm gonna have a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and you will get to that promised land. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I want to share this passage with you. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So, I want to encourage you, for lack of time, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to read the whole chapter of Colossians chapter 3 sometime this week. Read it and meditate on it. It really has the amazing principle of putting off the life of the flesh and putting on the life of the Spirit. Putting off carnal things and evil things and wicked things from our lives and putting on righteous things and godly things. And he prefaces that in Colossians 3 with this: you're dead. You know, Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my focus, Paul said. And that should be our focus as well as Christians. There's a promised land that we're going to. And God's called us there. And you know what? It was not easy, was it? Even after the 10 plagues, what happened? Pharaoh says, what am I doing? I know that we've had all these plagues and the firstborn just died, but we're going to lose our slaves. Let's get after them. Hey, they charge after them. And they get to the Red Sea, and the children of Israel are just freaked out. I mean, I would be too, right? Got chariots of Egypt after you. But something miraculous happens. The Red Sea opens. They pass through it on dry land. That must have been amazing, amen. I mean, I probably watched too many children's cartoons on this with the whales and stuff on the side, the dolphins. I imagine it must have been really cool. But you know what? The Egyptians tried to do the same thing. Well, if they can do it, we can do it. Charge! And they went through, and guess what happened? They all drowned. You cannot break free from addictions and strongholds with having the might of your worldly knowledge and your power. Spiritually speaking, we must break through bondage through God's power and through God's strength. It's there for us. God wants us to continually purge ourselves from the sins of this world. You know, Paul says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And Moses got a glimpse of God and realized, I've seen him who was invisible. I know his power. And that same power, that part of the Red Sea, that same power that delivered the children of Israel, that same power is in us. And he did it by faith. Four times in our passage it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then through faith. The last two steps in deliverance into destiny are this. Number five, do not fall back into sin and strongholds. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. John 15:2, Jesus said, every branch in me that brings forth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Sometimes that's not a fun process, is it? But the Bible says that we are to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, it will be that you will never be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And that's God's will. In this step, we really hone in on some of the sins and some of the heart sins of our lives that we need to get rid of. Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and evil speaking and all these things of the flesh be put away from you. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, sometimes we realize we're saved, realize that our enemy, we realize that we have victory over him and we're going to serve God. We make that decision, but guess what? There's some struggles we still have, isn't there? Even if we've been saved 20, 30 years or more, there's always going to be struggles. We're always going to have struggles until we get our new body. But God says that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that does, it helps us not to fall back. You know, a lot of addiction and recovery places have kind of this understanding that you're going to fall back. You're going to relapse. That's what they call it, right? Relapse. You're going to relapse. It's going to happen. In Christ Jesus, it doesn't have to happen. We can walk in daily victory, day by day, from spiritual strongholds, if we let the Lord cleanse us from iniquity. That's God's will. And then lastly, and I think even more importantly, it's not just for us, is it? Number six, to be fully on fire for God, we must continually minister to others and help them find true freedom. Wasn't that the way of the Master? Before he died on the cross, he said, John, there's Mary. She's now your mother. Take care of her. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe God answered that prayer with some of those Israelites probably got saved afterwards through the apostles. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He said, today, I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. What was Jesus' heart? Jesus' heart were for others. He was, his life, I mean, if you really study the life of Moses, it really is a life of spiritual growth, isn't it? I mean, the Bible says, I mean, he went from a murderer, a guy who lost his temper, and he still lost his temper a little bit at the end, didn't he? That's why he couldn't see the promised land. But honestly, he had a desire to help his people, to God's people. He had that desire. He had his father Jethro come to him and say, what you're doing is not right. You need to delegate some of this. He had a heart to serve God's people. He just wanted to do right. He wanted to serve God's people. You know, I don't understand this. At one point, God was so angry with Israel, he says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy these people. I'm starting over with you, Moses. I'd have been like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let's do it, God. I'm sick of these whiny people too. I can't stand them, Lord. And I'm the kind of person, I can't be around gossip because I'll just join right in. Amen? Yeah, that's right. I can't stand that person. They just so carnal and fleshly. And then, you know, they just got this problem. And we got the bigger problem, don't we? Amen? So he goes to Moses, and Moses says something incredible. He says, God, remember, these are your people that you delivered. What will everybody else say if you do this? Lord, don't do this. He says, if not, blot me out of the book that you have written. Wow. The Apostle Paul said something similar when he said, I wish I could be accursed so that my people Israel could be saved. I'd rather be accursed from Christ. Now, I don't understand that. But I understand this. They had a heart for others. Maybe what's going on with your spiritual bondage in your life is that not only maybe do you have a struggle with sin and you're not letting the Lord purge you from those things and having the right mind frame and repenting on a continual basis, but maybe you're so selfish in your life, you don't want to help anybody else, spiritually speaking. You just want to come to church, get fed, do your thing, have your little fellowship on Sunday morning or a life group on the middle, and you don't want to do anything else for God. If we're that way, we're going to have spiritual oppression. And you know what? God uses that for our good. Amen? I believe that. I believe nothing can touch us from the enemy that God doesn't allow in the first place. So that he can maybe use it to get us to the point where we need to be. A spiritual mentor of mine in college said this. He said, sometimes God backs us into a corner. Where the only way out is through him. That can happen in a marriage, can't it? You're stuck. You're done. No, you're not. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That's still God's command. Amen? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Doing what God says from a pure heart, that can solve any marriage problem. Whatever spiritual stronghold we have in our lives, we can get victory. And once we get victory, once God gives us victory, and once we walk in his ways, it's not enough. It's not enough. We've got to help others. Galatians 6:9, the word says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What a great verse, isn't it? How many of you have ever seen the movie that just came out, Sound of Freedom? Man, what a movie. I had such a mixture of emotions. I felt sick to my stomach. I felt angry. And then, you know, it was a great story because at the end, not only did they rescue the boy, they rescue his sister as well. And if you're not familiar with it, it's called Operation Underground Railroad. It's an organization that helps rescue children from sex trafficking and slavery. And what was really interesting is after the movie, I did a little digging into the founder, and obviously he was a worker of Department of Homeland Security, and he caught the bad guys, but he didn't rescue any children that burdened him. So he started his own ministry. I call it ministry, his own operation. And If you have Amazon Prime, I would encourage you to look at the documentary that, they have on him. It's pretty amazing. That mostly focuses on the country of Haiti, which is a spiritually dark place. And a lot of that is going on. What happened was there was a child that was abducted in church. It was a pastor's son. They got abducted. And they could not find him. And so they came and they were looking for this child, and they couldn't find him. But they found several others. And, you know, what was amazing is that this pastor, he was weeping when he was being interviewed. And he said, you know, if hundreds and thousands of more have to be found and my son's not found, it would be worth it. Wow. And I'm sure they're probably just barely making a dent in this whole corrupt, evil, wicked thing. And you know what sickens me is our country eats it up. Those that don't know the Lord, they just eat it up. They eat up child pornography. They eat up the stuff. They love it. We're the number one consumer, our country is, of child pornography in the United States. Now, if that shouldn't call us to get up and stand up and proclaim the truth, I don't know what else will. And you know what? We can't go rescue children, but we can preach the gospel. Amen? We can serve the Lord. We can do what's right. And I tell you what, I was fired up after I watched that. And you know what? Even though they're just probably making a small debt, they're doing something. And you know what? Don't think that, oh, I'm just serving the Lord in this little ministry. And what you're doing is wonderful in the Lord. And we shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Don't quit serving God. Keep going. And if you're not serving God, if you're not involved in ministry, get involved today. I want to encourage you to do that. You know, there's an old hymn that I love by Fanny Crosby. It's called Rescue the Perishing. And because my wife says I'm not allowed to sing, and because I can't sing, I'm just gonna tell you the words. It says this: rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Though they are sliding him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Amen? If you're here today and you say, I don't know that I'm saved, get that right today. I'll be back there after the service. Come see me. If you want to be involved in our ministry, we could show you some help. You don't need to sign up for it. Maybe you want to come. Maybe there's a spiritual addiction or a stronghold that you're struggling with. Just come every Monday at 7. No judgment. Everything's anonymous. We have 30 discipleship lessons that we do each week. Well, not 30 every week. We do one every week for 30 weeks. And then we have, maybe be careful how I talk. We have small groups that pray together. Listen, you have people that are ready to pray for you, counsel you, encourage you in the word. If you're struggling, get help. It's so hard to do it by yourself. It really is. When you got people of God with you, they can go away that quick. I'll encourage you to do that. Let's bow for prayer.